I want to read a little bit from St. John, the book of St. John. Maybe read a little scripture comment. Chapter 6, St. John. Jesus, after having fed the multitude, entered into a ship and he went over the sea toward Capernaum. Now, some of you have been with me to Capernaum. You remember going into Capernaum. As a matter of fact, if you recall, we went by the pillars. Speaking of the pillars, these pillars down here kind of remind me of that. If you remember going over, you remember seeing the synagogue where Jesus had been. It says here, Jesus had gone over the Sea of Galilee, which is referred to as the Sea of Tiberias. You know where that's at. You've seen it. You've been there. Numbers of it. The multitudes followed him, and he ministered to them. Jesus' words were so gracious till people hungered and thirsted for it. Here he fed the multitude, about 5,000 of them. And some of you remember where this multitude was fed, because as we went by, I'm sure Sister Betty does, as we went by, you know where we stopped on one occasion and went down to the seaside. Kind of hard to describe this because some of you went to a certain place with us where they were selling some things along by the seaside. And I let you go out and wait around the water. But this was on another occasion as it loops around, coming down, as you say, from Jerusalem, coming down this way and looping around, coming around to the great city that's set up on the hill up here, as he refers to these different places. We stood there, pointed out some of these things to you, and maybe they didn't register real good, but Jesus had fed the multitude there just on the mountainside. And then after that, he got into a ship and he went over to Capernaum. Whereas it's not very far across the sea there. You went across. Some of you were on the sea. We've been on there a number of times, and we preached at least a couple of times on the Sea of Galilee. But crossed over. And then this is what he said. The day following, the 22nd verse, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save that one wherein two his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat after the Lord had given thanks. If you're wondering what he's saying here, the people couldn't understand how he got across the sea. They couldn't understand that. The only ones that they had seen was the one that the disciples came in, and they couldn't figure out for the life of them how that Jesus could be over there, because he knew he was on the other side of the sea. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and that they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and as I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that this his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who would betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. His brethren therefore said unto him, depart hence and go into Jewry, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. And if thou do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. Then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet full come. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. All right. Notice this. There's a number of outstanding things that Jesus said. One of them that I think is real outstanding is where he used the terms, the world cannot hate you. Now you wonder, you think, well, what does he mean the world cannot hate me? Seems like it hates me pretty much. But he said the world cannot hate you. The reason the world cannot hate you is because you are of the world. You're part of the world. You still have a part of you that has never been redeemed to God so far as the change. And that part belongs to the world. I know we're trying to save this body. You know, we're trying our very best to pretty up this body and make this body just so-so as we go down through life. And men, you know, they spend a lot of time building their bodies. And women, they spend a lot of time with their bodies and our faces and all these kinds of things. And we lay up treasures to take care of the body, to minister to the body. But in all reality, God despises it. He despises it. It's loathsome to him. And he despises it. He hates it. I marvel at some of the people at Bethlehem. We have brethren here that spend so much time with their body and their faces. And women likewise. And they're always trying to come up with something for the natural and something for the body. To praise the body, to love the body, to have the body, to cuddle the body. And yet, to God, it is despised. It is called a bastard in the sight of God. This body that you have as to your first birth, God calls it the bastard child. And you're made in the image of the bastard child. So that means that there is no love from God to you as to your body. You are despised in his sight. He said, in the morning, I will despise thine image, which means the image that you are as of their present moment. He despises your image. You admire your image. You look into the mirror and you look at yourself and you admire your body. You try to shape it up to look ever so nice, and you admire it and you do all kinds of things for it. But the Bible teaches that God despises it. In the morning, I will despise your image. That is to say, if you are not born again to come forth in the new image of his son, the Lord Jesus, and if you don't kill out the body by mortifying the deeds of the body, equipping yourselves with a mind to suffer, and if the body doesn't become loathsome to you to the extent that the Bible said you hate your own life, if you don't come to the place to where you hate your own life, then he said, you cannot be my disciple. So then to hate your own life, to despise your own life, to despise your own image, that you may praise and love and adore the image of God. To despise your own life, that you might forsake everything in this life. Jesus said, if you don't forsake all to follow me, you cannot be my disciple. To come to a place to where you hate your own life. You hate it. You're not planning for anything. You don't have any career in mind. You don't have any purpose in mind. You hate your own life to the extent that the Bible says that you refuse to think your own thoughts, that you cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ, to meditate in his laws day and night, and come to the place to where you can say with Paul, it is not I that liveth. I have forsaken my life, my way, my things, all the things through life. And it is not me that liveth, but it is now Christ that is alive in the earth. And it is now the life that I live by the Son of God. So then he said, if you don't hate your own life, you have to come to where you actually hate the life that is in this world. If you don't hate this life, it is positive proof that you've never been born again. If you love this life, the things of this life, the way of this life, that is a positive proof that you have never been born again. Because when you really come to know God, You hate this life because this life is a vexation. This life is infiltrated by the powers of Lucifer, the prince of this world that savors the things that be of the flesh, of the body. And you are infiltrated from your first birth. And he loves this world. And he loves the things of this world. He loves the eating and the drinking and the passions. He loves to go see, do, be in the world. He loves those things that are referred to by God as vanities and lying vanities. Whereas Solomon said, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity. And he despaired of his labor under the sun. So you have to come to the place to where you hate it. When you begin to see it as a loathsome thing, that is that there is something that's enticing as to your outer person that draws and allures you to something that conflicts with your inner man, then you're getting somewhere with God. When you begin to see that is to say, as to the inner man, there is a continual warfare between the outer man, which God despises, and the inner man, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory that God loves. There is a warfare. It never stops. Day and night, it is continual. And the inner man is always trying to put the outer man down and kill him and destroy him and do away with the outer man, to eradicate the infiltration, so that the inner man might break forth in his glorious life of that eternal world, of eternal life, of eternal riches, of eternal magnificence, of eternal splendor, and eternal power in God. So we see the conflict of the bonds child as to the bastard child, who wants to be something in this world, who makes plans for careers, and who makes plans for all of the things of this world. We see the conflict between him that loves passions and gullible desires and the things of this life. We see the conflict between him and the inner man. So God says to you and I, he says, abstain from fleshly lust. That is, as to the original rendering, desire. Abstain from fleshly desire or fleshly lust. Make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust or the desire thereof. So deny yourself. He that cometh after me, let him take up his cross. Let him deny the outer man. Let him deny self and take up his cross and follow me. And wherever I am, there shall my disciple be also. So then, God despises the outer man. And he tells us that we are not to make provisions for him, that we are to deny him and equip ourselves with the mind to suffer. So the outer man, we are to mortify the deeds of the body. We're to do away with him completely. We are to consider ourselves dead by the body of Jesus unto the world and all it has to offer, all of its desires. We're to consider ourselves dead to that. This is the era of the evangelists of today. That's one of the great mistakes. Evangelists of today, they are greatly admired and followed after in a great, great way. They're followed after continually because they project the world. They lift up the world. They magnify the world and the positions of the world. The positions in Babylon. They lift up these things as being a celebrity, as having a career, as mixing darkness with light, or that is to the ball games and the frolics, the sports, and all of the things of this life, the monetary values and whatever. They lift up the body. They lift up the flesh. See, and so they are admired. Jesus said, so then the world loves you, but said the world doesn't love me. Said the world cannot hate you. Why? Because you magnify the world. You love the world. You go after the world. You care for the world. You want the things of the world. And Jesus said, if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. He taught that. So did the disciples. So then he said, the world loves you because you go after the world. This is why there's such a mix-up between male and female among the ministry and the people of the church, just like the world. So you go after the world. He said, and the world loves you. He said, but the world hates me. Said, it hates me because I testify against it. I testify of its deeds. I testify that it's evil, that it is corrupt. I come as the Prince of Life. And I come to save life. I come for that reason. I come to save life in the world because I want life to continue. He said, but in all reality, the world hates me. And he said, when they say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, be exceedingly glad. Leap for joy. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets before you. So in this we see that Jesus said, the flesh profiteth nothing. But he said, my words are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and they are life. So you've got to differentiate between the two, and you've got to make a decision someday. You've got to make a decision to give up self and to go on with God, or either to accept self's way of life and forget about God, because God is a spirit and self is flesh. And everything he wants is gullible. He is resentful. He is jealous. He is conniving. He's filled with his own thoughts. A lot of times people wonder why that I say what I do about certain individuals. They say, well, you're judging, Brother Pike. You don't really know. But the Bible says the child is known by his doings. See, and the Bible says that the backslider shall be filled with his own ways. He's filled with his own ways. When I've got men out here working, I can tell within a minute whether they're going on with God or not, because they are filled with their ways. They've got to go eat. They've got to go drink. They're always running an interference. They've got to do a thing this way or that way. If I ask them to do anything, they're going to change it around to fit their way of doing. Or they're going to just be protruding and go do something instead of asking or listening or conforming to anything that I say. See, they are filled with their own way. Religious people around the world, millions of people, are filled with their own way because they are a backslidden group of people. See, they're filled with their own ideas, their own ambitions, their own ways. Look at the church. Ball games is not God's ways. That's worldly ways. But yet the church has adapted that. They brought it in. All of the things that's done in the church with the many, many things that they've added to it, that isn't God's ways. That's the backslider's ways. That's the world's ways. All of these things of having careers and conforming to the world and being celebrities, being involved in sports and the different things of the world, as to the gullible desire of the world, that's not God's way. To pamper the flesh, to do all these things to the flesh, that's not God's way. See, to have positions in the world and be a good neighbor and be outstanding, have a lot of money, you know, to have the respect of the community, and all these, that's not God's ways. As a matter of fact, the Bible said, set him to judge that's least esteemed. If a man is esteemed in the world, God won't have him. If he's esteemed in the world, God tells us not to give him a place of judgment whatsoever, because he's perverted in his mind. He's relating to the world. He's something in the world. See, and God said, I don't want him, but take them that are least esteemed in the church. Let them be the judges over my matters. Now, when it says least esteemed, it don't mean esteemed by the brethren. It don't mean esteemed by the body of Christ. He has to be of a good report of them that are within and without, as far as being clean and just and holy. Esteemed by the world, the Bible said that which is highly esteemed by man or in the world is an abomination in the sight of God, because they esteem the flesh, and the flesh is corrupt. The Bible said corrupt flesh, flesh, all flesh hath corrupted its way. There is no good flesh. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I believe that here in the church, this is good flesh. Well, I've got some news for you. Jesus said all flesh has corrupted its way before God. Said there's none good. No, not one. All of them have turned aside. All of them have went after their own way of life. All of them look to their own quarter for their own gain. I've accepted one, even the Lord Jesus, for in Isaac shall the seed be called. I've accepted one, he said. That's all I've accepted. And I have bruised him for your transgressions, and I've laid upon him the chastisement of your peace. And the only way that you can get in is by what he does. So they said, do a miracle, do something. Work the works of God. What do we have to do to work the works? He said, I'm the works. I'm the works. He said, you didn't follow me for the miracles anyway. Opening the blind eyes, unstopping the deaf ears, making the lame to walk. He said, that ain't why you're over here. Somebody said, if we just Oh, what great. And he said, no, that's not what it is. He said, the belly, the old serpent is put on his belly. He said, you followed me because I fed you a meal. I gave you something to eat, and that's why you followed me. All right, so then Jesus despised the world. He said, the world can't hate you. Why is it today that the world doesn't hate the church? Because the church is part of the world. Like the man said, it's not bad for the boat to be in the water, but it's terrible when the water gets in the boat. So then the world has gotten into the church. And that's where the problem is today. We can't help but be in the world to the extent that we are caught in these things. He said, I don't say that you should come out of the world as far as being a human being. He ate with the sinners and the publicans, but we're not to be part of the world so far as our inner man and our desires, nor to conform to the things of the world. Let me tell you something, folks. You can have all you want of the world. I tell you this again. God will give you everything. Everything. He made it all for you. Paul said, having sown unto you spiritual things, shall I not reap your carnal? If others are partakers, aren't I the more? But he said, having carnal things is one thing. Being carnally minded is another. Somebody says, well, I can just have all the trucks I want to, all the cars, home, everything, Brother Pike. Money, it don't bother me a bit. No need to lie against the truth. The only reason you go after it is because it bothers you. See, there's nobody that God tells to go after the world. Nobody. Oh, somebody says, but Brother Pike, look at the things you got. I know, but I left everything I had, including my home, my land, and everything that I had. I left it. And I went after God with an old jalopy, that's all I had. Old tires ready to blow out. I went after God. He said, and all of these things shall be added. My mind is in God. My love is in God. My conversation is in God. My treasure is in God. All of these things are in God. My heart is in God. Because I didn't go after those things. They followed me. They were added unto me. He promised that, and the cup would run over. Health, happiness, all these other things. For to be carnally minded is fleshly. That's death. There's nothing spiritual at all about it. Nothing spiritual. It's death. Death. That means that many of you that are listening to my voice right now, you are abiding in death right now. Living in trespasses and sins, you are dead while you live. That's why I preached the message the other night where God told Jeremiah, I set thee over the nation to pluck up and to plant, to tear down and to build up. Every message that I preach as a minister to you here, wherever it might be around the world. Every message that I preach, I'm tearing down, I'm building up, I'm plucking up, I'm planting. It depends on the way you listen at it, as to what you receive, as how you receive me, as how that you look at these things, as to what you really are, as to the planting and the plucking up. Because I have the power to bless, I have the power to curse. Whoever I bless will be blessed, whoever I curse will be cursed. For Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins you retain shall be retained. So we see that God despises the flesh and the world in its present condition. He so loved the world as it was in the Garden of Eden, where he made it pure and made man pure, that he gave his only begotten Son to save the world and to save the life of the world and to redeem the world and to redeem his people. But in its present condition right now, it is under the curse. Everything that you go after, it is under the curse. It is under the curse. Like the man that went after what Naaman had, he got leprosy. He got the curse with it. The golden wedge, Achan got the curse with it. Troubled all of Israel. Saul went after the cattle. Oh, I'm going to get the cattle. I'm going to save all of this wealth. Lord, I can make a big sacrifice to you. Somebody says, I have a big income. I'm just kind of furbished and refurbished until I have a tremendous income. God, I just want money, 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 money so I can make a big sacrifice to you. But that isn't what it is. The Bible said, if you're faithful over a little, you'll be faithful over much. And if you're not faithful over the unrighteous mammon, which God hath committed to you, then who is going to commit to you or to your trust the true riches of God? If you have a little bit, you'll give. And if you have a lot, you'll give. And if you have a little bit and you don't give, then if you have a lot, you're not going to give. You're going after that because you want that. You're not laboring that you might have to give to God. You're going like Saul. You got the old Saul spirit. You're going after the things of the world because that's what you want. Your sacrifice unto God is as they that walk in the long clothing, those that desired the salutations in the marketplace, sitting in the high seats as preeminence in the synagogues, to be admired of men and be called of men rabbi. All right, don't we see where we're standing, folks? But I want you to understand that when you think you understand, you don't understand it all. Many people that feel they understand, they don't understand it all. Say, so what is it? What is it? All right, let's look at something just for a few minutes. I made the statement to you here, it's on tape somewhere, it's been a number of years back or whatever, X amount of months ago. I said, someday the American government will accept sodomy. Sodomy. I say this, you're grown-ups, they're teaching things in school. This word is published in the papers, everywhere, books, you talk about it. So I'm going to speak it like it is as to the way the papers carry it. I told you, I said, someday, that they refer to as the homos, it will be accepted. It will be accepted someday. It'll be a way of life. It'll be part of your society. The world hates me, Jesus said, because I testify that its ways are evil. That's an evil way. That's a dirty way. That's a filthy way. That's worse than pigs. Did you know that according to what I understand, a pig is more honorable in the sight of God wallowing in the mire than people that are in that kind of condition? And yet the world is filled with millions of those kind of people. Now, I said someday they'll accept it. And I said, and when they accept it, that's going to be the end of the world. That's going to be the end of the days of the Gentiles. That's going to finish it. Well, the clipping came to me. I read it. They accepted it. The government passed on it, whereas before they would put a person out of service. They would not let them be in service. But they made a ruling right down through the Supreme Court that that's a way of life for them and that you can't reject them, that they can go into the services. They have the right to have power of rank or be whatever they want to be. And another thing is, if it is like that, according to the new ruling, they could be president, they could be senators, they could be anything else. What is it? The gays, they call them? The gays? What is it? It is perversion. It's demon spirits. Now you say, what do you mean by that, Brother Pike? I mean that they have at last legalized the right for demons to take preeminence. Because that's what they did. They legalized that the devil could have preeminence as to what they call freedom of right, which means that was all that Lucifer needed. That's all he needed to be personified as Antichrist and set up his degraded way of life. And they passed it. Now someone would say, well, what do you mean the end of the world? And God looked down on Sodom and Gomorrah and he saw that. He burnt it to the ground. Isn't that right? He burnt it. You've been there. You've seen the sight of it. He burnt it to the ground. Let's give him a hand for doing it. Hallelujah. I'm glad he done it. He burnt it to the ground. Now, if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, what is he going to do? Burn it to the ground. He'll burn it to the ground. I'll guarantee you he'll burn it to the ground to look at a creature that he made and gave everything, including his own blood from his veins, and look at him and see him do such a dirty, low-down, filthy thing. He'll burn it to the ground. All right. So where are we? We are in the end of the world. We're at the end of the world. The days of the Gentiles are over. It's finished and it's gone. When they legalize that, they become repulsive in the sight of God, because the Bible said if you bid a thing God's speed, then you're the same thing. You're partakers of it. If a harlot be joined to a man, or a whoremonger be joined to a woman, then the Bible said they're one body, they're one flesh. When you make allowance for it, that's one body, that's one flesh. Did you know that Jesus himself, coming down in this world, could not atone for my sins until he became one with me and allowed his body to be a sinner? And in the sight of God was rejected that he might bear my sins. Two can't walk together lest they be agreed. So then that means that when the American government agreed to that, that means, pardon me folks, all of them are homos. God charges every one of them as being gays. I tell you, I don't accept it. It's repulsive to me. I'm not part of the government. I'm not part of anything that has to do with that. Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. All right. So then, this is why that I preached the little sermonette this morning. The flesh. You've got to get rid of the flesh. All flesh has corrupted its way before God, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. What was it in the days of Noah? What is he talking about? He said, he was saying, in the days of my wrath, my judgment, when I destroyed mankind, as it was in the days of Noah, when they corrupted themselves, all flesh had corrupted its way before God, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. All flesh will have corrupted its way, and then my wrath will come. So I'm going to say this in closing, and that is, as long as the government didn't go along with that, as long as our government stood against it, our president didn't voice, I don't guess he didn't voice his opinion. I haven't heard anything about it. But as long as our government did not tolerate such evil, then God respected it. But when, no matter how many people corrupted their way, the government can't help that. No more than the preaching, the church can help the people corrupting their ways. And God didn't charge against the government. See, no matter what they did, no matter what people did, God didn't charge it against them. But when they endorsed it, that made them corrupt and guilty. Now, even our own Constitution states that when a Constitution or a government or any form of government becomes corrupt, it is the people's duty to overthrow it and start a new government. That is a constitutional right. And that's what God did. He overthrew it. He started another one. So let me tell you something, folks. Our government, as I said, has already become communist. You know that. I made that statement a few days back. Communists coming in. Why did it come in? Because it was the hour of the corruption. But I say this in closing, that if they have made allowance to sell liquor, beer, all these things that pervert the mind of our darling family, and then pull them in jail, or into jail, or into court, charging them and bleeding the daddies and mothers to death over this ungodly thing, as I told the police. I said, you're to blame. You're to blame. I said, you protect it. They didn't like it. But doing those things and then allowing for all of the frolic, Jesus said it would be a sinful and an adulterous generation. The whole generation. Hating mother, killing. See, it's the end of the world. That's the end of the world that God set up. The world is a system. A new system is now coming in. So far as the earth will continue on. Always it will continue. Because God made the earth to be inhabited. One generation comes and goes with their government, then comes another. That's the world. The old world passed away with the water. Peter said concerning Calvary, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. Now there's another ends of the world have come. Another system goes down. So this time, the coming up of the system of God, the only system that'll ever stand. Washington saw the economy fall and then he saw it rise. It rose to never be overthrown again, which was that of God. So I say that this is only the ultimatum of what they started. They allowed for this, and then they allowed for that, and they allowed for something else, and indecency of drinking, of all the things that they do, clothing,
the wearing of obscene clothes, all these things, filth in the magazines and the television everywhere. So why not add that to it? That's what the devil was working for to start with, was the ultimatum of his desire and his desire's perversion to turn you into a, I won't say it, it sounds so harsh, but anyway, God's got more respect for the pigs. Don't freeze up on me. Give me a hand. I said he's got more respect for the pigs. I know it gets a little cool in here, and I want to let you go because I don't want you to be uncomfortable. But I think, folks, when I see them little ones out there enduring the cold, and men that are real men and women, whoever, going to and fro, and you know, and we get disturbed over this, it's just hard to get a hold of. I wonder how God judges us. The flesh wants convenience. Satan says, I'm uncomfortable. I need to eat, go to a cafe. I want to get where I'm comfortable, where I can eat and rest or laugh and talk and drink and do my thing. You know? So the flesh has done its thing. I want you to stand with me. The world hates me, Jesus said. So I testify of it, that its deeds are evil. But said it can't hate you. Why? Because you've compromised with it. You've compromised with it. That's why it can't hate you. All right, you've got the world. Now you're happy. But you've also got leprosy, death. God has allowed sin and death because of corruption. I want you to think on this. There comes sickness, sorrow, heartaches, miseries, woes, problems, poverty, all the many, many problems of life and the harassments of life. Why does God let the church go through that and experience that? Why is that? The world out there has got money. They've got physicians. They can do everything. You know, everything that they want to do to satisfy the flesh and to have healing and whatever it might be. See, they can do that. The world can do that. But why is it that the church is always sick, always put down, always problems, everything goes wrong, killed all the day long, counted for as sheep to the slaughter? And yet through this, the Bible said, we're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. Why is that? Because he doesn't want you to get attached to the world. As long as you keep your mind on God, he'll give you everything that heart could wish for as to the convenience of life. But folks, you know and I know that even here at Little Bethlehem, God has prospered some of you. I challenge you to follow him and receive the threefold blessing of God as to a natural, physical, and a spiritual blessing. And you got blessed and now you're hung up. God said, when you go into Canaan, beware lest you forget God. When you get over all your problems and you get out of the wilderness, beware lest you forget God. When you're fed to the full, and then you say, who is God that I should serve him? I have what I want, someone would say. Who do I need with God? That's the rich, the answer haughty. They've had their reward. God has let these things come upon you to discourage you, to cast the flesh down, to make it discouraging. That's why he let the RS and all these things come, to keep you away from it. The early church, they yielded up everything to keep you away from it. About time you want to get up in the world, a disease hits, sorrow hits, heartaches, problems, problems with the eyes, problems with the pancreas, problems with the body, problems with the heart, problems with the back. See, to discourage you, to keep you from getting caught in it. Well, we could say a lot about that. But anyway, I just want to bring this as a passing thought. If you'll follow God, love God, keep your mind on God, forget about the flesh, forget about the things of the world, forget about your family, your wife, your children, your neighbors, your friends, your own body, forget about everything. And think about God. He'll give you a good wife. He'll give you good children. He'll give you everything that heart could wish for. And you can live like a king. But the very minute that you look in that direction and place your faith and confidence in it or think on it or desire it, you are corrupt. Well, that's a carnal mind. That's death. When you start programming and making plans for the flesh, provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust, the desire thereof, then you're gone. When you start thinking your own thoughts, reasoning as to whether he, the preacher, is right, whether this is right, whether... When you start trying to judge him instead of saying, oh my God, what a wretch I am. Oh my God, don't let me stand in the sanctuary and think one thought, not one thought, but to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Don't let me think one thought, God, of my own thought, let alone judging and scrutinizing and trying to figure things out. Don't let me think one thought. Bring every thought down to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Don't let me think one thought. Somebody says, Brother Pike, this is a good brainwashing program. This is a good soul-washing program. You don't have to worry about the brain. It's all right. You just get the spirit clean. Jesus said, you clean the inside, the platter, the outside. It'll work out all right. It'll work out all right. Let's sing a chorus together. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. I need thee, Lord, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. I need thee now, precious Savior. Oh, how I need thee. The altars are open. Don't turn heel. Don't turn him away, for he has come back to your heart once again. So let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to Jesus and hear his sweet voice. And don't turn him away. Can you sing it? Come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay.
day. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden, and I'll go with him, with him all the way where he leads me, I will follow. Can you sing it with me? Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow, and I'll go with him, with him all the way. He will give me of his grace and of his glory. He will give me of his grace and of his glory. He will give me of his grace and of his glory, and I'll go with him all. Let's lift our hands up, close our eyes. God loves you. He wants to help you. It's his delight to do something special for you. And he will do something special for you if you'll let him. If you'll let him, he'll do something special for you. You're special in his sight, but if you really want his favor, then deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow him. The body is the Lord's. You should glorify God with the body. For it is his temple. And he seeks to glorify it. He seeks to preserve it. But with the infiltrated mind of Lucifer, that has your spirit and mind in control, he turns the grace of God into lasciviousness. He does that so that he can use the body for his own gullible desire. That he can work through one body to another body and satisfy his desire in every way as that which is of the world and that that pertains to the flesh. So then, we've got to eradicate, kill out, do away with the perversions of life, the evil spirits, and the things of this world. To present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, even as our Lord and Savior, our example, who was put to death in the flesh. We must be put to death in the flesh. If you're not willing to die in the flesh and to deny the flesh, to do away with the flesh, then you cannot be his disciple. You belong to this world, this present world. Being put to death in the flesh, he was quickened in the spirit. Quickened by the spirit. Sad to know that many of you don't even have a spiritual experience. But when you get God on the inside, the more of him you get on the inside of you, the less that you think of self.
and the less that you desire the things of the world, and the more that you want to tear loose from everything, to lay up treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal, and where moth doesn't corrupt. For wherever your treasures are, there your heart will be also. And to let your conversation be in the Spirit, in holy things, in heaven, being put to death as to self-denial in the flesh, but yet quickened and made alive by the words of life, even the words of the Spirit. For my words are Spirit and life, even the Spirit, being quickened by the Spirit. For if this Spirit be in you that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead, he shall also by the Spirit quicken your mortal body. While you've got your hands up, your eyes closed, I want you to think on the things of God. Think about Jesus. People are going to judge you. They're corrupt. They're corrupt and their minds are corrupt. So they think of you as being corrupt because they're corrupt. They know what their mind is on. So they judge you that way. But the Bible said we're to use righteous judgment and judge according to the word. Because you're corrupt, you don't need to look at me thinking I'm corrupt. You're looking through dirty windows. If I be corrupt, there's no need of me looking at you to think of you as being corrupt. I'm not to know you're after the flesh. That's the first wrong. When you think of a person as being corrupt, you're corrupt. You're in corruption. You're living in corruption. Because you're knowing someone after the flesh. And the Bible says we're not to know any man after the flesh, any person after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And if I judge you after the Spirit, then I judge you as a child of God. I judge you as that which is right, that which is holy, that which is God. I think of you as my precious brothers and sisters with all godliness and purity of heart. To love you with all godliness as dear children of God. Then I'm not corrupt. I'm holy. I'm clean. I'm pure. And all things is clean unto me. Now I said that because a man keeps judging me all through my services. He judges me. He judges me. Sometimes there's a couple of men that judge me all the time. Their minds are on the world and passions, so they judge me accordingly all the time. They scrutinize me. But it's because of your own condition. When I said that this morning, it didn't register. But then when it did register, it made the man think. And his spirit began to acknowledge, that's right, that's right, that's what the problem is. He began to realize that he needed to get clean. Jesus said, you're clean. Not all of you, he said, speaking of Judas, or that that betrays God with their old carnal reasoning, the old carnal mind is empty with God. He said, but you're clean through the words I've spoken unto you. I speak these words unto you so that you might know that I see on the inside of your heart and life, and yet not I, but Christ. And if I see, then it has to be God. That means it's truth. And ye should fear greatly because it is God that's looking at you. And I said to console you that you are clean through his love. All right. Far standing here, don't forget the services tonight. Always remember, folks, the house of God. And don't forget that you're children of God and the devil's out to kill you. And when you go to eat and drink, don't get wild, gullible. And don't go out there careless and unconcerned, laughing and joking and talking. Be sober, be serious. Thine adversary, the devil, goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible said, resist him steadfastly in the faith. Don't give place to him. When you go out there to eat, keep your mind sober and keep it on God. Talk about Jesus. Go with Christ in your mind. Go with happiness and peace and joy. For serving God is joy and peace and righteousness in God's Holy Ghost. Go out there. Keep your mind on God all day. Go forth in whatever you're doing, in your businesses, whatever you're connected with, to keep your mind holy and godly and pure. And keep it on Jesus and enjoy life through Christ Jesus, the Savior. I'm going to ask Brother Tony to come up here, if he will. And as Tony comes to dismiss you, Remember, Jesus said, my words are spirit, and they are life, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The world hates us because we're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. We testify against the world that our deeds are evil, and we have no fellowship as light with darkness. But we reprove the people of those works that are done in darkness. They won't come to the light lest they be reproved, because their deeds are evil. But we are children of light. So let your light shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And as Paul said, that your faith be spoken of throughout the world.